I've recorded. I'm recording right now.
I didn't know. You didn't say that you would hit record. You were like, are you ready? And then you started talking about
fucking... You give me shit all the time about not starting on time.
You started talking about your fucking new chopper figurine, and then you went off on Disney and stuff. I never got the fucking memo that we were recording, and I hate you.
Yeah.
I'm minimizing you now. I don't even want to see your face. You take your mustache and you go.
All right. I'm never going to stop doing that now.
If we just don't read any more High Republic books, everybody's still alive and everything is fine. I just want to point that out.
I'm going to talk like Marcion for the rest of this episode now.
Okay.
We don't care about Ezra Bridger, Jedi.
Ooh, okay, so somebody on the TikTok left a comment that I have not been able to get out of my brain. Just talking about like a fantasy live action casting for any kind of High Republic content.
Yeah.
And recommending an actor to play Marcion Roe.
Okay.
Neil Newbon, the voice of Astarion from Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
A thousand times, yeah. Because like he's got super angular features. Imagine him, but like bluish gray with solid black eyes. Jesus Christ! And it wouldn't even need to be live action. It could be mocap because he's a brilliant mocap actor.
Right.
But no, like there are some Astarion lines that just are pants meltingly hot, but also incredibly intimidating and menacing. And I think he could absolutely pull off that particular cocktail.
I think through the power of camera techniques, they can make him look 7 feet tall. So I'm here for it.
Just a lot of low angles.
And I'm fine with that too.
Absolutely.
That's how I imagine Marcion when I see him.
just reclined on a throne. It's good.
If y'all saw the a particular issue of Shadows of Starlight. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I sent Steph some pictures, making sure not to spoil anything.
So, I'm not a Marcion Ho just yet. I'm not 100% there. But I wouldn't kick him out of my bed for eating crackers. Okay. So, yeah.
And for those of y'all that are on High Republic Phase 3, I'm also Gira Staros Ho now. So, let's stand that goddess real quick.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay.
We're talking about evil is what we're talking about.
I hear
about.
You saying things and it's adorable.
I'm sorry. I just have to fanboy.
Okay. I encourage you. I support you.
Good.
But can we do a podcast now?
Okay, sure.
Cool.
Fine. Okay. Be that way.
Do you want to do an intro? I'm going to do an intro. Are you with me?
I'm ready.
Okay, cool. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Dark Side Divas, the podcast where a woman and a gay man express their opinions about Star Wars. My name is Stephanie. I'm the woman half of the show. And I just really want my Star Wars and Baldur's Gate 3 worlds to collide. I don't think it's asking too much.
Wow. No, I don't. I agree. And hey, everybody, I am Chris. I am that homo. Holy fuck, I still love the Ghost Crew sexual.
Oh my God, so much.
Oh, and Steph?
Yeah.
Perhaps you can help alleviate my frustration.
Governor Tarkin.
I know. Wait, what a demonic gay man he is. I think that was the Inquisitor, actually.
It was the Inquisitor? Okay.
We'll talk about it, but I'd like to remind everybody, I'm a bad person.
You know, same, but we'll get into it. Okay. Do you have anything you want to talk about before we get started today?
A couple things, Steph. Did you hear the news?
I've heard a lot of news.
Well, so the haters have rallied together to protest the reverse sexism that they're experiencing because they're men.
And oh, okay. Definitely a real thing that happens.
Yeah, they've been marginalized by women who pretend to like Star Wars, and Lucasfilm has heard their cry, so they have canceled the Rey movie.
Oh, that news. Yeah, no, absolutely. Turns out whining on the internet in your own little bubble with people who agree with you completely works. So
yes.
And it will move a multi-billion dollar company to completely change their entire plan for their major IP. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Lucasfilm put out a press release saying that's not fucking true.
Love that. Oh, I love that for Lucasfilm.
Like, they waited a whole 5 minutes before they were like, yeah, no.
I love that for those man babies. No, the alacrity with which Lucasfilm released that makes me think maybe they already had, like, a boilerplate of, no, this bullshit that these fans are saying is not true, just yeah. ready to go. And there's, like, they just Mad Libs it. Like, the Rey movie is not canceled. Just yeah. fill that out.
And to be clearer than that, Variety is reporting that they're waiting for the third script revisioning, which means their pre-production nice. Is pretty deep into the weeds already. So,
yeah.
It's moving forward. Now, We have said this a million times. Let's reiterate it. Making movies and television shows requires an array of small miracles. Mm-hmm. So the fact that anything gets done ever is a miracle. So if a particular production were to be canceled or ended, there's usually a good reason for it, unless you're Warner Brothers.
Right. That's the thing. Is, I was about to say, even if they don't intend to release the project, even if they intend to, like, film the whole fucking thing and then put it in a can and set that can on fire.
I'm yeah. sorry, what?
Exactly. Or is it Batwoman? I get them confused. One was a TV show that was...
Oh, yeah, there were two. You're right.
And the other was a whole-ass movie that they filmed. It didn't, and they just fucking put it in a can. But then they'll still do the project because there's too many contracts and too much money and too many obligations hooked onto that project. They'll still do the whole fucking thing, even mm-hmm. if they intend to shit it. Shit can on it. Shit, you know what? I can't even talk. What I'm saying is, Ray's not canceled. Fuck off.
No. And even if that movie adorable. Never got made, she still got featured in the best Star Wars movie of all time, so fuck off.
Someday we will discuss our disagreement about which movie qualifies for that title, but okay.
Oh, are we going to disagree? I don't think so.
Oh, we're going to disagree.
Hey, I got you on Jar Jar. I got you on Geo. That is my third. That is my third pillar.
I have a personal grudge against your favorite Star Wars movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's personal. They fucked with my kid, but we'll get to it.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I know where you're going with that, and that part I can't disagree with, which
thank you.
Is really, really interesting.
Okay, anyway, let's focus, shall we? Do you have anything else?
Yeah, so Steph, you caused a lot of consternation, concern, anxiety with our listeners. So as an example, you sent this to me this morning, so I'm going to read it.
Go ahead.
Our new listener, Sarah, has wrote in, and they wrote, "Hi, as a relatively new listener to the pod, I just want to say thank you for all that you do, both of you. It's so great to turn on DDD and know it will be a safe space to hear about Star Wars from non-toxic, non-fandom menace creators. Your voices are so soothing." Soothing. "And I love the points you discuss. As a woman in this fandom, I especially enjoyed your, as of now, latest episode where you took down the ridiculous claim that women cannot like Star Wars, although you did give me a heart attack when you said you were quitting until it became clear it was part of a gag. I know negativity fuels, but I just wanted to tell you thanks for the pod."
Thank you, Sarah, for that. Appreciate it. Yeah, and thank you to all of you, and there are many of you who have reached out to let me know that I frightened you, worried you, gave you a heart attack with my very insensitive gag last week saying that we were going to cancel the podcast because women don't like Star Wars. We're not. I'm sorry. I didn't think anybody would care or be emotionally affected by that particular gag at all. So I apologize. We are, of course, not ending this podcast. As I said, no, we're here forever. Fuck them. They can't. No, no. Women like Star Wars. Queers like Star Wars. Fucking suck it.
Yeah, I also appreciate the amount of support I received personally for understanding the trap, the minefield I was in.
And the virtual high fives you got for your sensible caution in that moment were impressive.
And people ask me, like, how do you do that? How did you know? And let me tell y'all, I have been through that minefield before.
How did he do it?
Because I remember the previous pain.
Yeah, we've been friends for, do the math, Heather.
I don't know. No. 24 years?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Almost a quarter of a century, Heather.
Yeah, our friendship is almost old enough to get reduced insurance premiums. So, yeah. Already old enough to vote, die for the country, and drink.
Yay. So,
almost old enough to rent a car. That's how. Because when you have navigated that particular minefield many, many times, now you just know where the mines are. You've memorized the layout.
I love that.
He's a smart man. What can I say?
Sometimes. Steph, are you ready to talk about Rebels?
Like, I'm so ready.
We need to. Are we going to pretend like we just talked about Rebels last week? No.
No, because this is, look, y'all, I had to go for A, I was wrong at the end of last podcast episode about what episode we're talking about, because it's literally been like 6 months since we've talked about Rebels. So I completely had like lost the plot on that. I had to go back an episode and rewatch it because I forgot what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, it starts off really intense.
Yeah, well, it's a lot. There's a lot going on. And it of course, ended on... can't believe we left Kanan hanging for 6 months. we ended the last episode, which was season one, episode 13, with Kanan being captured by the Empire.
And then the strikes. And we're like, and what the fuck?
We had to walk away. Oh, my God. Anyway, we're back. And so we'll be moving on with episode 14 here in a second. But no, I think the delay, we can't pretend that didn't happen. We can't pretend that we haven't been out of Rebels, because I'm not going to be able to contain my absolute goddamn delight to be back.
Right.
I love them so much.
I to prepare for this moment, a couple weeks ago, I started a Rebels rewatch up to the point where we're going to talk about the episode we're going to talk about today. So had I not done that, holy fuck. Thank you, Disney Plus and Master and Mouse, for making all that shit available to me. Gonna need you to go ahead and tell me when those new Star Tours scenarios are going to get released now, because I've been waiting, and I know people are waiting for the Bad Batch trailer, but I'm waiting for that. So
I think it's adorable that you think Disney listens to us.
They do.
They do not. They do. Well, okay. I think somebody from Disney Star Wars may have encountered our content at some point and gotten 2 seconds into it and heard us say things like fuck and arboreal bukkake and blocked us on everything. They're never gonna, no.
I know for a fact there are at least 3 employees of the Walt Disney Corporation that listen to our show.
Are they performers at the park?
One of them.
Okay.
The other two work for the park too.
Yeah, not a lot of like executive decision making.
Okay, fine. There. Okay, fine.
But I'm glad the angel. Hi, I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad you enjoyed the show. All right. Hey, are you ready to get into why we're here today? Like for real?
Oh my God, let's do
okay,
it.
Okay. Hey, what we're doing on this podcast is we are watching through the entire Star Wars visual story in chronological order, and we're doing that again. We're back to it. I'm so excited. So, we are getting back into Star Wars Rebels, which is where we left off prior to the strikes. And today, we are talking about Star Wars Rebels Season 1, Episode 14, Rebel Resolve.
Dun, 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 dun.
Do you have an intro?
Kanan Jarrus captured! After Ezra Bridger's message of hope, the eyes of the Empire are focused on Lothal and the Ghost Crew. How will the cruel crew deal with the capture of Kanan? Will they choose the rebellion, or will they choose family?
Ba-ba-ba-bum. So real quick, before we get into the episode itself, we do have a new director for this particular episode. The director is named Justin Ridge. His resume is all animation, most of it Star Wars. He did direct some episodes of Black Dynamite and The Cleveland Show. He has directed 4 episodes of Clone Wars, 38 episodes of Resistance, 1 episode of Visions, and he will go on to direct 24 more episodes of Rebels.
Wow.
I know.
Hey, Steph, did you notice that there is a slight animation upgrade between this episode and the one before and all the others before?
I did. What's going on with that? Do we have any details?
So I tried to find stuff. It was created later. Mm-hmm. There is a strong belief. None of this is confirmed. I found this in old message boards and shit. Mm-hmm. There's some belief that the season was supposed to end with the capture of Kanan Jarrus. And that this episode and the next one was meant to be season two episodes.
But that would explain it.
I can't find any confirmation, but that would explain the brand new director and the animation's definitely got a little upgrade.
I just noticed that it all looks more crisp and there's more depth.
Yeah.
Like they didn't, it's not like in Clone Wars where it was like, everybody's eyeballs are smaller now, you know? It's not like that. Everything is just prettier.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks like hair moves more now.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool. Okay. So, we figured out Kanan's, sorry, I'm looking at my notes. Comms tower is destroyed. Kanan Jarrus has been captured. Et cetera, et cetera. Okay, let's get into it, shall we?
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
All right. We start off with a lovely sunny day in Lothal City. Citizens are walking down the streets. It's all fine until a group of stormtroopers with an ATDP walker behind them are sweeping the city looking for the rebels.
And we're getting some Battle of Hoth music. I love that.
Because anytime you have a walker on screen.
Yeah, so we have a counter where the ghost crew is not being hunted by the Empire, or chased, rather. Technically, in this case, the ghost crew is hunting the Empire. So it's the other way around.
They're hunting each other.
Yeah, that's mutual.
And the thing is, they're like, we're going to sweep and we're going to look for the rebels. And if they would just look up every now and then, they right? would find the rebels.
It's called a roof.
They're literally, like, in the previous episode, they were up on the arch over the one highway in and out of Lothal City.
Yeah.
And now they're on the fucking roof.
Half the time the ghost crew's gotten into a battle with stormtroopers, it's on top of a building.
And like,
so
why do we not learn? Why?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so Ezra and Jeb? No. Zeb.
Yeehaw, my name's Jeb.
I know. Like, what?
Carabast.
What in the Beverly Hillbillies happened in my notes?
Autocorrect, maybe?
Jesus, I have no idea.
Though, if your computer autocorrected for
Zeb to Jeb,
that needs to get a spanking.
Computer. Yeah. How fucking dare you? Okay. Ezra and Zeb are running along the roofs. They are keeping pace with the walker. They jump on top of the walker. God bless Zeb. He just cracks the roof open, reaches in, and grabs a pilot and throws him out. Just palms his whole skull.
Yep.
I love Zeb so much.
That was never mind. That would break a human being's neck, but whatever.
Whatever. And then Ezra, oh so cleverly, appears next to the other pilot and goes, hey, how you doing? And stuns him. Very cool. But it was kind of stupid, though, because that pilot does just unconscious fall forward on the controls, and now the walker is just staggering around in a circle shooting randomly.
Ezra rolled a one in that circumstance.
Sabine is shooting from the rooftops to distract the ground troopers. A lot of pew-pew going on. And once Ezra and Zeb have secured the walker, Chopper uses his little butt rocket to fly over to the walker. Mm-hmm. And he goes down inside, and he starts hacking to try and get into like the Imperial network and find prisoner logs of all Imperial detention facilities. They are looking for Kanan.
Yeah, but there's a small problem with that.
Oh?
Yeah, so apparently, so we remember in the previous episode, the Empire just went ahead and blew up their main communications tower, which yep. allowed them to have long-distance communication, i.e., you know, talk to the rest of the Empire.
Yeah. Anybody not on the planet? Yeah.
And the other consequence of that, their entire network is down. So
right. They blew up the server. Like, yeah. The entire server room is down. So there's no network. There's no Wi-Fi in Lothal City.
And Governor Tarkin, whatever your fucking name is, girl, just turn it off. You don't have to blow it up.
No. He had to make a statement. He had to show Kanan, you think you're doing things? I'm willing to burn it all down.
And that's how you know he's a bitter gay man. Because that's what I would do.
Well, exactly. But also, this is a hint for us that are going in the chronological order, the lengths to which Tarkin is willing to go. You've annoyed me. I will blow something up. And he's just, as he rises in rank, the object that he blows up is just going to get bigger and bigger.
Uh-huh.
To potentially, I don't know, planet-sized.
You don't know what it takes to win a war.
You don't. Okay, so they're like, shit, he can't access anything. No, wait, we don't even know that yet, but we'll get to it. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Sorry, you're fucking with my time.
I'm sorry. So a real quick note. So when Chop plugs in, Ezra tells Chopper, we need prisoner logs of all the detention people. That's a line from New Hope. I love that.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I like it.
I know.
All right. So Zeb is on the Walker roof. He's returning fire to the troopers. And Ezra's like, here, take this. And he holds the pilot's arm up through the hole. And then we get a ding on the Gerzeb Aurelios, hits a motherfucker with another motherfucker counter. Because he just throws the pilot at the stormtroopers that are on the ground.
I'm here for his journey.
I love it.
Also, that stormtrooper's dead.
Yeah, they're all dead. Fuck them. Ezra takes over piloting the walker. Sabine, running along the roof, catches up with him, jumps down there. And that's when Chopper reports there's no connection. The network is down. They can't find Kanan's records. There are more walkers incoming. It is time to go.
Yep.
So Sabine calls in Spectre 2 for a pickup. And she turns to Ezra and she's like, I hate to be a pessimist, but how do we even know? Ezra cuts her off. He says, he's alive, Sabine. I know it.
Fucking Jedi.
Right, fucking Jedi, but also fucking Mandalorian. He might be dead, she says, essentially. Yeah. Like, why are we doing? Anyway, cut to Kanan, who is alive. He's not dead. He's alive. But he is strapped to an Imperial interrogation table, and he's being villained at by Tarkin and Kallus right now, so...
Do I want to read my notes right now? Look, y'all.
There's a lot of potential in this room. Just a lot of...
There's a lot of potential, and... Oh my god, we're talking about Rebels, and we have a Kanan Jarrus strapped to a table with Tarkin and Daddy Kallus watching him. Mm-hmm. What are you trying to do to me right now, Star Wars?
This is a children's show.
This is a children's
How
show.
How dare you? Anyway, Tarkin is like, now we will discover if you are the Jedi you claim to be. And Kanan goes,
well, Governor, somebody's got to keep you entertained.
And then that's the intro. That's it.
Yeah. But did you notice, Kanan, my pants, sir?
Girl.
You could keep me entertained. I'm just saying. Like, I mean, we could talk about it with Hera first, because I like to proceed ethically into these situations, but like, But then, we jump to the Star Wars Rebels title card, and new music, new very ominous music
over that title card. Yeah, what the fuck is up with that? Usually when another animated show, i.e. Clone Wars, does something a little bit different with their intro, something horrible or sexy is going to happen. Or horror sexy.
Sexable.
Yeah.
I'm trying to portmanteau that as well.
Side note, I listened to Freddie Prinze Jr.'s wrestling podcast because he was a writer for WWE. That's a fun little fact about him. He breaks into a Kanan Jarrus voice.
Sir.
A lot, because he likes to talk about Star Wars a lot on his show, because guess what? He's a big Star Wars fan.
Huge,
He had a fucking hilarious rant about the women don't like Star Wars thing. Would recommend checking it out. Yeah, he's like, that's bullshit. Here's my wife. Look at her. She's covered in Star Wars, you know? So it's, yeah, whatever.
Wait, Freddie Prinze Jr. said that? His wife is covered in Star Wars?
Yeah, she loves Star Wars.
But there's a lot you say covered in, I'm picturing tattoos, and Sarah Michelle Gellar does not have Star Wars tattoos. So
No. She's a big Star Wars fan, though.
Okay, good.
There are great pictures of her in Batuu. Just saying.
Okay. So, back to the walker chase through the streets of Lothal City. Everyone needs to get up on top of the walker because Hera is incoming. She's going to scoop them up. Sabine's like, Chopper, quit searching. We got to get up there. And Chopper very clearly tells her to fuck off. Like, that's what that beat meant.
That's what that meant, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And just a quick reminder, the voice of Chopper is, in fact, Dave Filoni.
God damn it.
Love him. He's just, you know what? He's the supervising director for all of these episodes. This is his baby. If he's going to pick a character to voice, it's going to be fucking Chopper, and I love it. Hera swoops in with the Phantom. Everyone jumps on but Chopper. He's still back on the walker searching for Kanan. Which is like, what? Chopper, let it... dude, like, there's a level of devotion here that is totally unexpected from Chopper. Zeb has to jump all the way back to the walker, manhandle Chopper into the Phantom right before the walker explodes. And it's, like, decapitated. And it's just some legs walking around and crashes into the other walkers. I fucking love it.
I love it. I love it. Also, the armor class of this walker has to be, like, a 9 or an 8. And yet, still, the stormtroopers can't fucking hit the thing until the very end. I love that.
Classic stormtroopers.
Yeah. That's can't just, fucking fire with this shit. I love it.
That's just the way it is. So, next scene. We cut to Hera is on a holocall with a mysterious hooded figure.
The fulcrum. Okay, so Steph, I listened to this on my headphones, and here's another difference between this episode and all the ones previous. The voice modulation was a lot better earlier in the season. When I hear this on my headphones, I can hear the voice actor a lot clearer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know exactly who that is. Of course, I knew who it was before, but like, if I were going to watch this for the first time with my headphones on, I would have figured it out right then and there. So I don't know why they made it a little clearer this time. I mean, I know they're planning for the reveal soon, but.
Right. And so I don't know. I think, I don't know. I think maybe if you've been watching through the season and you don't have that particular voice actor in your mind because they're not in the show, you wouldn't hear it.
Sure.
I think we hear it because we know who that is. And yes, we're being deliberately vague about it on this podcast because I want to enjoy the reveal when we get to it.
Yes, because Star Wars loves their reveals and surprises. Yeah, so Fulcrum tells Hera, hey, so I know like, y'all love Kanan and everything, but you got to focus on the mission. You've done some shit. The Empire is looking at you now. And that is literally the opposite of what I've asked you to do.
You guys are supposed to be a stealth mission. Your ship is named the Ghost.
Your code names are Spectre 1 through 7. There's something wrong with your branding right now.
But Fulcrum is also like, Kanan knew the risks. He accepted them. Yeah. You need to accept them and move on to the next mission. And also, thanks so much for your radio broadcast that let everybody in the galaxy know exactly where you are. Appreciate that. Love that. But Harazal, the fuck are you saying to me right now? Like, Kanan is the mission.
Right.
We're gonna find him. And is it just me, or is Fulcrum suddenly super focused on Ezra?
No, they're super focused on Ezra.
Yeah. Like, Ezra, Fulcrum mentions Ezra's name like 3-4 times in this conversation. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware that Fulcrum knew Ezra existed.
Well, I mean, everybody in the galaxy knows Ezra now, right?
Yeah, I guess now. Because Fulcrum's like, okay, you're going to go looking for Kanan at what cost, okay? Because you're going to put you and Ezra and your whole team in danger, and thus the rebellion in danger. Okay.
Yeah.
You need to protect yourselves, protect Ezra, and go into hiding.
Here's another way that Fulcrum kind of gives away who they are in this conversation. It feels like to me they're basically telling Hera, hey, look, you have a greater duty than yourself, even with the people you love. You have to be sensible and rational and logical and approach this clearly and do the mission. How many times has that person had that fucking conversation with somebody else? A million times.
We'll get to it.
We'll talk about that.
Okay. So, inside the Ghost, in the, like, the room, the living room of the Ghost, Ezra, Sabine, and Zeb are looking at a holo projection of the Imperial ships that are all parked in orbit around Lothal. They're still trying to figure out where Kanan could be. And Zeb points out, look, if he's at the Imperial complex, he might as well be gone. And Ezra insists he is not gone. He's also not at the Imperial complex. Well, how do you know that? I just know. It's a force thing is what's going on here.
Yeah, fucking Jedi.
Yeah. And Sabine's like,
we can't make a plan based on a feeling.
Yeah.
Me and Ezra at the same time say,
yes, we can. We do it all the time.
Right? I literally shouted at the screen, what the fuck? That's all your plan so far.
Like, Sabine, are you on this show? Do you watch this? Are you living this life? Come on, girl.
Anyway, ding, Sabine doesn't realize they're in a Star War.
There you go. Hera walks in right then, just in time to hear Ezra saying we do this all the time. And she's like, not this time. We have orders to not do that. I'm ordering you all to stand down. We're not looking for Kanan. The Empire is definitely setting up a trap. And Ezra's like, yeah, we do that all the time, too. Like, why not? And Hera's like, there is a bigger picture here. Like, the rebellion's overall mission cannot be jeopardized for one soldier. And Ezra is offended.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's not just a soldier. And, like, over here, me? I'm like, how can you even objectively value Kanan as just another soldier? Not even, like, as in he's your honey boo, or he's fucking beautiful, or any of that. He's a Jedi.
Yeah.
That's a bigger piece on the board.
He's Ezra's master.
Anyway, Ezra's like, he's not just a soldier. He's our friend. We can't just forget about him.
He'd do whatever it took to protect us.
He already did when he sacrificed himself. Ezra, he'd want us to honor the choice he made.
God damn it, Space Mom.
I know. So Ezra, totally unhappy. He teenager stomps off. He's totally going to do something.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Meanwhile, Chopper.
God, he is by himself and sad, and he's even muttering to himself.
He rolls into Kanan's quarters, which are empty because Kanan is gone, and he makes sad Chopper noises. And look, my coal black heart cannot handle sad Chopper noises.
No, that's not allowed anymore.
Ugh. Do you remember when he tried to kill Kanan?
Yeah.
Like 20 times already this season?
That's how he shows his love.
If R2-D2 is a loyal dog, Chopper is a cat.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Anyway, Ezra finds him in there, and Chopper is immediately like, I wasn't in here. What are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah, he even tries to bully Ezra.
I know. But Ezra gets down on his level and is like, dude, stop. It's okay. I miss him too. But I have a plan to find him. Do you want to help?
Of course he does.
Oh, yeah. Chopper's in. We get a gorgeous shot. And this, again, this is where we get that animation upgrade.
Right.
An absolutely gorgeous sunset scene of the ghost just parked in the middle of the Lothal Prairie. That was beautiful. That was like desktop wallpaper beautiful.
Yeah. I thought about this. I was like, how cool would it be if in Ahsoka season 2 we get a shot like this? Mm-hmm. I would fucking cry. Anyway.
Yep. Anyway, everybody's inside prepping the ship for combat. And Zeb is like, why are we doing this if we're not even going after Kanan? And Sabine's like, hey, do you think, I'm just worried because I'm a heartless Mandalorian, do you think he's going to talk? You think they're going to torture him and he'll tell them about us? You think that might be a thing?
And Hera looks sad and says he doesn't know anything. What?
And in a way, he doesn't. Yes, he knows about them. He knows about their rebel cell. But he doesn't know about the wider rebellion because they keep that information compartmentalized. Hera's the only contact.
Wow.
To the rebellion at large. And this is the thing. Like, early on in our coverage of Rebels, I got confused about who was Spectre 1 and Spectre 2 because so obviously Hera is the leader of this whole situation, right? But she's Spectre 2 because they hide her even in their coded comms traffic. Yeah. They do everything they can to protect her because she's Space Mom and they love her, but also she's the contact. She's their connection to the wider rebellion. She's the intel danger. If she gets captured, everything is fucked.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if she has like a cyanide pill or something like that on her.
I wouldn't put it past somebody with the last name Syndulla to have measures like that in place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that'll come up later in the
that'll
show.
That'll come up later.
So they're talking. Chopper rolls in, just nonchalant, in the background like you do. Ezra suddenly calls Sabine on the comms and is like, hey, can you help me find the power cells?
Who loses your fucking power cell, Jedi?
And so Sabine's like, oh my god, yeah, I'll come help you. Chopper, take over whatever the fuck it is I'm doing. Hey, Zeb, come help us too. And they leave and Chopper plugs into a computer. Sabine and Zeb go meet Ezra at the Phantom. And they say, okay, Chopper's in position. Zeb's like, what are you talking about? What's going on? Wait, are you going to disobey Hera's orders and go find Kanan?
Yeah.
And Sabine says,
were they orders or more like her opinion?
And I feel like those are some dangerous hairs to start splitting, but I support her.
I do too. And I love that Sabine gets consulted with in Chopper. But they're just going to assume Zeb's going to go along with it.
They're just going to drag Zeb.
Yeah, they're just going to drag Zeb into
it. Because look, Zeb is a lot of things, but a good liar is not one of them.
Nope.
He's not going to, if you get him in on a secret plan too early, he's going to, look, Hera's not stupid. Like, yeah. it takes the wily-ass teenagers and the evil robot to be able to pull off a deception on Space Mom. And even that doesn't last long, but we'll see. Anyway, they are waiting. They got the Phantom fired up, ready to go. It's the little ship that, like, parks in the ghost. Anyway, they are just waiting for the signal. Meanwhile, Chopper in the cockpit is causing fucking chaos. Because Chopper's an agent of chaos.
Well, yeah. And also he's trying to distract Hera. Yeah, so yeah. He plugs in and turns on the sound system and starts playing it loudly. And I have in my notes, wow, Chopper is me when I was 15. When my mom would like tell me, stop watching television, blah, blah, blah. And I would be like, oh my God, my life is ruined. So I would go into my room and start playing Tori Amos or Nine Inch Nails very loudly on my stereo. That is what Chopper is doing.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But as a distraction.
He's doing it as a distraction. Hera is well and truly distracted. So they take off with the Phantom. Mm-hmm. And Zeb's like, okay, so where are we going? And Ezra says, to our last resort. And they are not away 5 seconds before Hera's looking at Chopper and going, what are you doing?
Yeah, she already figured it out.
She's already onto them. Yeah.
Fucking Space Mom.
Yeah, she's fucking great. Meanwhile, Kanan is being interrogated. Maybe?
Tortured. Meanwhile, in Chateau Tarkin.
I mean, but it's like, this is the easiest torture ever because he's just sort of like sitting there with his eyes closed and there's like a ball droid vaguely menacing him. He looks asleep.
Right. Well, it's a torture droid, but it's, it's going to pump him full of drugs and try to harm him, but it's not going to do anything because he's a Jedi, which Tarkin gets frustrated by.
Yes.
And then we have the door opens. And can we talk about animation upgrade for a second?
Uh-huh.
The Grand Inquisitor is hot. Like hot.
In his own cone-headed, pointy-toothed way. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So he walks in and he likes to point out to Tarkin. So, you know, the Jedi are trained to resist all the bullshit that this droid can do, it's not going to work, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And Tarkin is annoyed. Tarkin's perpetually annoyed. He's a bitchy queen. We know it.
He really doesn't want to be here.
He's bored.
He has better shit to do.
I have a Death Star. I mean, a space station.
He's here because of the failures of everybody in this room.
Yeah.
So he's annoyed with everyone. And so he's like, okay, you say the Jedi can resist this, but we don't even know if he is a Jedi. Did you come in here with a solution or are you just here to be annoying? Is his whole attitude towards
the Grand Inquisitor. Let's be solutions oriented, shall we?
And the Grand Inquisitor goes,
pain. A Jedi still feels pain. And pain can break anyone.
And I need, again, I'm on my headphones with that voice.
Jason Isaacs, sir. My pants? I just got them back on. Why would you do this to me? It's a children's show. I swear to God, they cast these actors to throw a bone to the parents who are watching the children's show along with their kids.
Mommy, so, why are you drilling?
I don't know. That's a thing. Anyway, so the Grand Inquisitor holds up his hand and starts like dark side mind pushing on Kanan. And he's like, tell me where to find your friends. And Kanan's like, no, not Ezra, not him. And I'm like, why are you saying any names at all?
Yeah.
Why are you? Because it's very clear this is not actually affecting Kanan. He's like, I see you growing more and more frustrated. Boom! Mic drop. Look at that. Your shit didn't even work on me, man.
Will saving throw pass, bitches.
Right. But I feel like he'd said Ezra's name because the Grand Inquisitor has already met and fought Ezra. He knows who that is.
Well, also Ezra did the broadcast. So Ezra's right. Out. Ezra is known now. Ezra's probably done. He doesn't know how much danger he is in now.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Jabba. That's not going to keep working for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, so the Grand Inquisitor was like, oh, that's perceptive.
Hmm.
And Heather.
Yes.
This line.
What line?
Perhaps you can help alleviate my frustration.
Oh,
that's not fair.
Like, yes, I volunteer as tribute. What? What are we doing? Where?
Yeah, so now I'm like, oh, now it's sexy time. But no. They move to fate. Well, no, this is not hot to me. I'm not into shock kinky stuff. I'm sorry. No offense to anybody that is. But yeah, all these lights come out and rails and such from the sides of the table. And they start to glow, and Kanan is getting electrified. Now, fun fact, with this lightning animation, this is actually a what they call a modular plug-in lightning thing. They created this from back in the Clone Wars days, so anytime there's random lightning, which, wouldn't you know it, with Sith running around, happens all the time. They can just create a very quick lightning arc with the animation engine that they use. So that's where this lightning comes from specifically.
That is very cool.
And don't ask me how I found that information. It was a random tidbit I saw on Wikipedia. I don't usually, I'm not really that smart. I just want to let people know. I'm not the researcher here.
Thank you for sharing, Heather. That was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kanan's screaming as he's being electrocuted, and we get a shot of the glow of Kanan's torment on Tarkin's ghoulish face and reflected in his evil ice blue eyes. Yay, this is a kid's show.
And why am I attracted to Tarkin now? Why? Because I never was before.
Because of who you are as a person.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, back to the Ghost Crew mutineers. They roll up on a cluster of boob rock hills in the middle of the prairie. Where there is a giant, ugly green ship.
Very ugly. We've seen this ship before.
We have. We have. That is the Broken Horn. That ship belongs to Cicatro Visago. The guy with the broken horn who has fucked them over before. He's a local smuggler, like you do. He is loading up local smuggler shit onto his ship right now. And he sees these three walking up to him, Sabine and Ezra and Zeb. And he's like, ugh, okay, well, are you looking for work or what? Why are you here?
Yeah.
And Ezra's like, you already know why we're here. And Visago's like, oy. Okay, I don't know where your friend is. And even if I did, it would be of no use to you. The Empire is locking everything down, which is your fault, and it's bad for business, so I hate you.
Yeah. And as a result, if you want to change that, you can help us. I'm like, boy, that's not how this works.
Right. And Visago's like, no, fuck y'all. Your rebellion shenanigans are what got the Empire's attention, and you made everything more difficult, so go away. You are bad luck.
He's not wrong.
And Ezra's like, hey, you ever wonder why the Empire was so interested in Kanan? And behind him, Sabine and Zeb are like, exchanging oh shit looks. What is he doing? Where is he going with this?
And,
why?
And now I get to have a mini moment where I'm reliving my coming out story.
Oh?
Which is where family are getting together. I'm very young, right? My sister, who's just a toddler, looks up to my mom and is like, Chris likes boys. And everybody's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Okay. So, yes. Ezra's like, hey, why do you think the Empire is so interested in Kanan? Why did they send an Inquisitor to Lothal? And then Ezra just fucking tells Visago that Kanan is a Jedi.
Why would you do that?
I know. There's a long pause. Even the droid that's behind Visago turns around and is like, ugh. And then Visago just laughs and is like, are you kidding me? That scoundrel couldn't be a Jedi any more than you could. So naturally, Ezra uses the Force to float an entire crate of whatever the fuck it is Visago's loading onto this ship over Visago's head and almost drops it on him.
Good job, Ezra.
Good job. And so Visago's like, oh shit, you too? Okay, cool. I'm a believer.
Gays everywhere.
As far as the eye can see. Ezra's like, yeah, so help me find Kanan and you will have a Jedi who owes you a favor. Honey, this is such a bad idea.
Yeah.
Such a bad idea, but it's also the only bargaining chip they've got, right? Yeah. So Visago's like, a favor. Anything I ask? And Ezra's all, within reason. No deal. And he's like, okay, fine. Whatever you ask. Okay. And Visago says, sure. But you come onto the ship alone and we'll do the deal.
So quick note on the droids that are wandering around here.
Yeah,
these are loader droids. Basically, the art style is a mix between old Ralph McCoy art style and some of the initial draft images of the battle droids. So it's kind of a combination of both.
Nice.
And I love that. Roger. I miss them. I miss my battle droids.
I do too. Lucas has been playing Jedi Survivor.
Oh.
And every now and then I hear a battle droid and I'm like, oh. And because he's my husband and he loves me, he did listen to our entire coverage of Light of the Jedi. And so he's playing through Jedi Survivor. And at one point he's like, babe, come here. Look. What? I go running in. He's like, look, right here. Is that the bad guys from Light? That was the Nihil, right?
He found
some High Republic lore. Survivor, and he recognized it, and he was very happy.
Yeah, so. You get it all in that game. You get the Great Hyperspace Disaster. You get it all.
It's good fun. Stuff. It's fun. Good stuff. And you get a really, really hot one-armed High Republic era
girl.
Jedi, question mark.
We're gonna do an Unleashed episode on the Fallen Order and Survivor story because there's a lot of hotness in those games, and the story is fucking fantastic. Has he finished it before Survivor?
No.
Okay. No spoilers then.
He's still on it.
Make sure you're there for the end.
Okay. So, Ezra goes into the ship with Visago. And like, in again, animation upgrade, right?
Yeah.
And so there's the lighting is better and the shadows are better. And this is when I noticed that for some reason they gave Visago really nice shoulders and arms.
What the fuck?
What is happening? Why is Visago kind of...
Why are we making everybody hotter all of a sudden?
Kind of... Did they make them hotter, or are we just really happy to be back in Rebels? And we just rolled in here with our hormones cranked up to 11.
Why not both?
Porque no los dos. Anyway, Visago's like, okay, so first we do the deal. And then he bows to Ezra. And Ezra's confused and like reaches out and touches his horn. And Visago's like, what the fuck? No, we're doing a deal. So I bow, you bow. It's a whole deal thing. And so Ezra's like, oh shit. Yeah, sorry. He bows, but it's like with a big flourish and everything. And Visago's like, no, it's you're doing too much. And the whole moment's ruined. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what the fuck just happened? I don't understand, but I love it. Anyway, Visago tells Ezra, look, when y'all blew up the comms tower, there was no more long-range comms. And Ezra's like, we didn't blow it up. The Empire, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
There's no more long-range comms, so the Empire is having to use droid couriers to carry intel from the planet's surface up to the comm ship in orbit for them to then broadcast that back to the Empire.
Right. They're doing it old school.
Right. So any one of those droid couriers could have intel on the location of prisoners. So they agree to the deal. Visago gave them this information, and now they owe Visago an unspecified favor at a later date.
And Ezra asks Visago, so what do you need? Trying to get Visago to like let him know what the punishment's gonna be for this right now. And Visago tells Ezra, what I tell guys I'm not sure if I'm gonna hook up with.
Today, nothing. Tomorrow, who knows?
Nice. So Ezra runs out of the ship. He sees Sabine and Zeb. They're standing with their backs to him. He's like, hey guys, everything's cool. I have a lead. Sabine and Zeb turn around. Surprise Hera.
Oh my God.
Right there. And she's pissed.
According to my partner, I was sitting in front of my computer watching this and I literally clutched pearls. I literally gasped very loudly and clutched my pearl. So,
look,
she, by the way, when you upgrade the animation, the facial expressions are more intense. Mm-hmm. And when you're angry, specifically angry Hera face, that is a scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I never want that to happen again.
I'm like, what? Who? What did I do?
Am I in trouble too? I'm just watching this shit.
Right? She's reaching through the screen and across the years to make me feel bad about something. I don't even know what I did.
Right.
I've got lies lined up. What do I need to... I was on the moon with Steve. I don't know. Okay. So we're back to the ghost, right? And Hera's livid. And she's like, you guys, you put all of our lives in danger by disobeying my direct order, by the way.
Yeah.
And Ezra's like, no, it's totally worth it. I know how to find Kanan, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. Chopper goes, uh-oh.
He does. He goes, womp, womp. I love it. And Hera's like, you did all that and put us in debt to Visago for a maybe? And Ezra's like, we don't want to give up on Kanan. And Hera's like, I know you think I do. He says, no, you don't want to give up on him. I don't want to give up on him. That's why we took this risk. That's why we did this. Everybody's desperate. And she's like, okay, fine. What did you learn? And Ezra goes, I have a plan, and it involves Chopper.
Yay. Like,
oh, good. There will be a body count on this plan then.
Yeah. Yeah, at
it's
least one.
It's just true.
Yeah.
God damn it. Anyway, so we cut to a nighttime scene, because the nighttime is the right time for rebel bullshit. They are spying on some Imperial shuttle movements. It's all of them. They're all there. They're sneaking around. They are ready to grab a courier droid before it gets to the shuttle that will transport it up to the cop ship. Okay. Mm-hmm. What they're going to do is grab the droid and send Chopper in its place. And Chopper's like, what the fuck? Like, this is the first time he's hearing about it. And Sabine's like, don't worry, I'll give you a paint job, because Sabine is the fastest paintbrush in the West.
Yes, she is.
She could just immediately. Chopper's all grumble, grumble. Ezra kneels down, looks Chopper in his little droidy eye, and says, for Kanan. And Chopper just growls at him.
Yeah.
But I assume that means he agrees.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at Kanan's screaming torture session, which has now been going on all day.
Yeah.
Because it was happening coinciding with scenes that were in the daytime. Now it's nighttime and he's still screaming.
So Darkin is reminding the Inquisitor, so the Jedi is no good to me dead, which is a nice callback to Empire.
Right. Right. It's a Boba Fett line, right?
Yeah, it's a Boba Fett line.
Love it.
And Tarkin's actually impressed with Kanan.
He does possess the will of a Jedi of old.
Mm-hmm. He would know.
Yeah, exactly. That was something that he pointed out to all of these Imperials in the last episode. Have y'all ever met a Jedi? No, I have. This is bullshit. Well, no, it turns out this guy actually might be a Jedi.
Yeah.
And Tarkin's all impressed. But that also changes what Tarkin needs to do here.
Yeah. Mm. The Inquisitor finally gets a hint from the Force, and he actually says out loud, is it possible that this Jedi doesn't know anything about the Rebels?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yes, it is possible. You go ahead and keep zapping him if you want to. You're going to get nothing because he has nothing to tell you. And so, Tarkin's like, all right, I recommend we transfer him from Lothal to another location, one that never fails to extract a confession.
Is that like a beach resort kind of place, or?
No, you and I both know immediately exactly where he's going to go.
I don't want to talk. We'll talk about the end.
Yeah. Meanwhile, at the droid switcheroo plot that they're doing, we see four stormtroopers escorting a droid. Sabine runs in behind them, shoots the back two. As the front two turn around, she's like, hey, behind you. And they're like, we're not going to fall for that. Zeb pops up behind them and cracks their helmets together. Which I think counts as a ding.
I'm about to say, that counts
another
as a
motherfucker.
Ding. Yeah. Note on the droid is an R5 model droid. R5s are the common model that's used in this era. And it becomes adopted as a common model for the First Order, too, because their capacity for holding data is pretty big, apparently, based on other
estimates. Because their heads are tall?
Because their heads are taller, yeah.
Yeah,
thank you, Star Wars. Fucking bullshit.
Anyway, this poor little droid is all alone in the middle of these unconscious, shot, dead, maybe, unclear, stormtroopers, takes one look at Zeb and just passes out.
Yeah.
It just falls over.
Okay.
I didn't know droids could pass out from fear, but there you go.
Oh, sure. Why not?
And you know what? I don't blame them.
Yeah.
So Zeb just scoops up the droid. Ezra runs in with a repainted Chopper. Chopper now has the same paint job as the droid that they just picked up. And Chop just rolls up to the shuttle that was going to be picking up that droid by himself. The two troopers that are on guard at the shuttle are like, wait, here's the droid, but where's his escort? Fuck it. Let's go. they just leave. With Chopper.
Fucking stormtroopers.
Look, they
so
don't get
dumb.
Paid enough for this shit. They don't get paid enough for this shit. At all. Ever. I don't blame them. So, the shuttle flies up to the Imperial Light Cruiser.
Right.
Do you have any information on the Imperial Light Cruiser?
We did talk about the Imperial Light Cruiser, but it's basically a smaller cruiser ship that can store up to 120 troops.
Ooh.
We will find that out in Mandalorian. And it's meant to be a vessel that can be it has high grade weapons on the top and the bottom. Mm-hmm. Cannot cause a Imperial bombardment, but it's pretty handy for smaller missions. The proportions of this particular vessel changes throughout Star Wars canon. You will recall, for example, in Mandalorian, this ship is used and the Imperial shuttle is able to dock inside of it.
Right.
In Rebels, though, this shuttle, I have in my notes, scissors with the light cruiser.
It does.
And I celebrate all kinds of love. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. No. It is definitely a limbs twist together. Let's put our crotches in one spot.
Yeah.
Park job.
Yeah.
The reason I really wanted to emphasize this Imperial Light Cruiser, this is a brand new design.
Yeah.
That is being debuted in this episode. And this Light Cruiser, the animation model, was designed by Amy Beth Christensen. But women don't like Star Wars.
Nope.
There's no women involved in Star Wars. Women don't like Star Wars. Never mind that she's here designing the exterior and the interior and absolutely everything about this whole-ass Imperial
Light Cruiser. And to that end, we see the Light Cruiser in more shots in Rebels than we do Star Destroyers. So, you know. Just saying.
But women, Star Wars stuff. No girls in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
How dare. Another thing about this whole scene where the shuttle is flying up and scissoring with the Light Cruiser. There's, you know, conversation between the pilots on the ship and the officers on the deck and everything on the ship. Almost every Imperial officer in these scenes is voiced by Liam O'Brien.
And the J random generic Imperial officer with the hat is there. We last saw him get blown up on Lothal.
This episode is the first time where they just sort of, in the production notes, openly acknowledge, yeah, we're just using the same animation model over and over. Yeah. That's why they all have hats really low over their faces, so that we can't blatantly tell that it's just the same model with different hair color every time. And look, Liam O'Brien is a very, very good voice actor.
Yeah.
He does change up the voices, but I have watched too much Critical Role.
Right.
I have watched hundreds and hundreds of hours of that man talking. I could pick his voice out of a lineup easy. So there are a couple of voices in there that are Stephen Stanton, but for the most part, yeah, that's just Liam O'Brien talking to himself.
I love that. So, love it.
Love him. Anyway, cut to the Ghost. They're there with the kidnapped droid in the cockpit. Sabine is trying to reassure him that they won't hurt him. Now they're just waiting to hear from Chopper. Speaking of Chopper, he rolls right up to the main, like, cockpit deck of this Light Cruiser and just starts hacking into it.
Yeah, why not?
He just plugs in and starts going. The deck officers are like, wait, what the fuck? Where's the data? You're supposed to have data to give to us. Why are you accessing the communications logs? What's going on here? This droid must be malfunctioning. It certainly couldn't be a rebel spy.
Moron.
I love them. Look,
I know.
The deck officers are a little bit smarter than the stormtroopers, but not by much.
No.
Yeah. Chopper sends the data to the Ghost. They get to battle stations. They're about to go in. Zeb's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this droid? And Ezra's like, take him with you. Why? Because you're intimidating. Oh, yeah, that's true. Cool. So he growls at the droid and takes him with him. Meanwhile, back at Chopper, the Imperials are getting close to him. They're taking a closer look. They're about to check his encryption codes and find out he does not have any.
Uh-oh.
But then, boom, the cruiser is under attack. And Chopper legit says, gotta go, and rolls out. Fucking love it. So the Ghost is doing what the Ghost does, doing a lot of quick flyby shoot-em-ups on this bigger ship. And, you know, it's kind of a, what the fuck are y'all trying to do? Like, your droid is on that ship. You can't be trying to blow it up.
No. What's happening? And in fact, we know that Hera is a damn good pilot and she can maneuver the fuck out of everything, but she's still getting hit a lot because the Light Cruiser's guns are that good.
And also they have to stay close because they're distracting the ship.
Right. So the Ghost is getting hit hard. There's fires being ignited inside the ship. Zeb, concerned, frustrated, stressed out, yells, "Carabast!" And so,
ding. But he's got a fire, and Hera's on his ass. She's like, get on the gun because we're taking fire here. And he's like, I need help. I have a fire. What am I supposed to do? The droid that he took with him, the Imperial droid, puts the fire out. What a helpful little guy.
And Zeb was really impressed by that. He's like, hey, you're much better than our regular droid. And I have in my notes, oh, they're going to have a new droid companion. You know, it's funny. I don't remember the Ghost crew having another droid companion for that long.
Exactly. Put a pin in that. Yeah. Meanwhile, their regular droid, who Zeb doesn't like as much, Chopper, is rolling down the halls of this ship. He goes past some small trooper squads that are running around doing what they do. He goes straight to an airlock, opens it. Right as some troopers jog up, they all get spaced.
They're dead.
They're dead.
Murdered.
Now, we have been asked multiple times if we, while we cover Rebels, are going to do a body count on Chopper.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot. It's too much. And it's like, do you count the ones that he's killing on purpose? Or the ones that just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, like these four assholes who just got spaced to death because Chopper was leaving? Like, there's no, just Google it. Chopper's kill count is astronomical. It is on the internet. He killed some people. We can just call it out when he did.
But
we're not going to count them all.
So just a quick reminder, we do record these live. If you're a member of our Patreon, patreon.com/divaspodcast, for $5 a month, you can interact with us and chat at us. And by the way, Silver PG Inner Chat Stuff just said, the Dez Rydan treatment for real. Wow.
Yeah. That's legit. Oh, these poor stormtroopers. Look, in Chopper's very flimsy defense, okay, he wasn't trying to kill these guys.
No, he's just trying to get out.
He's just leaving. They ran up on him. Okay. And also, he didn't close that door. He has just decompressed that entire sector of
the
cruiser.
Right, right. So there's a lot more death happening.
Yeah. Anybody else in any of the halls who doesn't get behind like an emergency blast door or something, also dead. I love that for him. Chopper doesn't give a fuck. He's in space. He turns on his butt rocket and zooms over to rendezvous with the ghost. He is having the time of his life out there.
So I couldn't confirm this, but he is doing the like woo and doop doop doop, and he's muttering a melody.
Uh-huh.
Some people believe if you play it backwards, it's the Star Wars theme song. I don't know if that's true or not. Somebody else can confirm.
I don't know if you could get Dave Filoni to do that.
Well, I'm thinking maybe Dave Filoni hummed the tune and they flipped it backwards. I don't know.
Possibly.
But I couldn't hear much of a melody in the first place, but that was based on the post I read for this episode.
Anyway, Chopper's having so much fucking fun zooming around out there in space. The ghost flies up to pick him up. This pickup is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't need to be this cool, but when your pilot is Hera Syndulla, then she's not going to just, like, open the doors and wait for Chopper to fly in. The cargo bay doors on the ghost, they open on the bottom because there's a ramp that extends down. So she flies up alongside him, opens the doors, and then flips the ship over to line up perfectly with Chopper's trajectory, and then just rolls the ship to scoop him into the cargo bay.
Love it.
Like, what finesse. That was unnecessary, but beautiful. Thank you. You brilliant fucking pilot, you.
And Steph, who knew a girl could fly so well?
There's no girls in Star Wars, so that's crazy. Anyway, Chopper does a dramatic reach to grab on a grip on the ladder. He grabs it. The cargo bay doors close. Hera does a little flip and swoops down to disappear into the absolutely gorgeous cloudscape in Lothal's atmosphere. God,
wow.
It's pretty.
I know.
That was a beautiful operation, by the way. Like, that went off perfectly.
Right.
Well done. So, Chopper's in the cargo bay. He's celebrating. He's flexing his little arms. He's strutting around. Very proud of himself. Zeb and Ezra and the new droid meet up with him, and they all congratulate him.
Right.
On a job well done. The droid even rolls up to him and beep beeps what I can only assume is a congratulations.
And I am starting to get a creeping feeling. So there's yeah. a thing. I don't mean to do this, y'all. I mean, I'm very sorry, but sometimes when I'm working for a company and I know I'm the only gay in the village, and somebody new gets hired and it turns out they're also queer of some sort, mm-hmm. There is a moment where I'm like, oh, I'm suddenly less special.
Uh-huh.
And
are you saying that you're with Chopper on this?
Well, not okay. And it's a brief thing, because realistically, diversity is great and not feeling alone right. is better. But there's that brief moment where it's like, but I'm the queen of this town, you know? So
I am God's favorite princess.
Right.
Get him out of here. So Chopper, confronted with the friendly beep beeps of this droid, looks over at Zeb and Ezra and clearly says, what the fuck is he doing here?
Right.
And Zeb is like, well, actually, he's been a big help around here while you were off spying. I say we keep him. And Ezra and Sabine do a little smile nod, and the cargo bay doors start closing, and then nothing terrible happens.
Chopper begins to helicopter his arms, and he pushes
he pushes
the droid off and murders him, or tries to at least.
And that droid goes flying out the open cargo bay doors. I swear to God, he does the droid equivalent of the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, he does. And and I completely forgot about this. So once again, I am clutching my pearls.
So good. Oh my God. Zeb is like, yeah, I should have seen that coming. Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Don't introduce Chopper to his competition right next to open cargo bay doors. What are you doing?
So here's the thing, y'all. Chopper is now a character in the theme parks. You can go to Star Wars Land and meet him. But as a consequence, Batuu's gotten a lot deadlier. If you do a search for Disney Parks Chopper on TikTok, for example, you will see videos of Chopper essentially attacking everyone.
Yeah.
And it's no joke. He charges for people. So I love that. But also, it's dangerous. And somebody's going to get a lawsuit soon.
My favorite part about those videos is they have what are clearly like Disney Parks employees, handlers there, who operate like rodeo clowns.
Yeah.
They'll like run in front of Chopper and say things like, R2-D2's better, to distract him from attacking a guest.
Right.
And then run away from him. It's hilarious. So don't worry about the droid, though. Like, he pops up out of the grass down on the Lothal Prairie with a couple of Lothcats.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck did the Absolute, like, save the droid? Is that what happened?
Absolute?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Oh, you're colliding the BG3 worlds.
I know. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I did see an interview with Dave Filoni where he was asked what happens to that courier droid. Would you like to know what Dave Filoni says happens? He says that the droid will live out there on the prairie with the Lothcats until its battery runs out, at which point it will stand as a little monument out in the grass with some Lothcats sitting on it.
And oh shit, Lothcats.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Love them. Anyway, well, I'm scrolling all the way back.
And that's the end of the episode. There's no sudden awful realization of what's going to happen next that's going to make me feel like the Ghost crew is in so much fucking danger right now.
So, in the cockpit, Hera's sitting down with Ezra, and she tells him,
I'm proud of you. You stepped up and took the lead. Kanan has taught you well.
Oh, thanks, Space Mom. Best Space Son. What a wonderful, heartwarming moment. That's where the episode ends.
Yeah.
That right there. That's it. Yeah. Everything's fine. No, Sabine is diving into the data that Chopper sent over, and she finds something. She pops up Kanan's Imperial dossier. Would you like to know what it says in Orabesh on his dossier?
Of course.
It's got his vital stats there. It says that he is a human male. His height is 1.9 meters, which translates into ugly American as about 6'2", 6'3", somewhere in there.
And how many inches?
6'2".
Oh, no, I wasn't. Anyway, go ahead. Go on.
Girl.
Look, I'm curious.
I know you are, honey, but this is a Rebels animation, and they're all Ken dolls here. Anyway, it says his hair is brown, his eyes are green, his known weapons are a blaster and a lightsaber, occupation unknown.
Uh-huh.
They don't know what his job is.
My job is beach.
He's the Ken whose job is beach. No, he's a freelance menace is what he is.
Yeah.
Because then it lists his crimes against the Empire as currently known. His crimes are theft of Imperial supplies, resisting arrest, assaulting Imperial officers, and perhaps the worst crime of all, piloting without a license. Yeah,
I love that.
That's what it says.
That probably is, in Tarkin's opinion, that's probably is the worst.
That's the worst part. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so here's they've got Kanan's record. It says that he is currently being held on board Tarkin's Star Destroyer, the Sovereign, because of course that's what it's called.
Of course, of course.
And I gotta wonder, is there a Mass Effect fan somewhere
on the crew?
I think there is. Anyway, the ship, the Sovereign, is still parked in orbit around Lothal, but it is on the flight schedule to leave soon. The destination is the Mustafar system. I've never heard of that. What's that?
What's the Mustafar system? Steph, this is the first time I've seen this episode since, watching Rogue One,
right.
The Obi-Wan show. That hearing that after all that, hits different.
It hits different when you're watching in chronological order. And, you know, we know, we saw with our own little eyeballs what went down on Mustafar. And we know who moved into Mustafar.
Yeah. Like,
fuck. They've mostly, most of them have never heard of fucking Mustafar, but Hera has. And she heaves a big stress to the fuck out sigh. And she says,
I've only heard that name once. From Kanan. He said Mustafar is where Jedi go to die.
Dun, 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 dun.
No! End of the episode.
What?
Kanan's in so much danger, y'all. Oh, my
God. And we get a to be continued.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because we got one more episode.
Yeah, not just one more episode to resolve this storyline. To the fucking season. We were already at the end of season one when we stopped doing Rebels. Holy shit, I'm not emotionally ready for this.
I can't wait, though.
I know.
I can't fucking wait. Obviously, we're going to see Vader. Obviously, Vader is happening. I'm really looking forward to Vader in Rebels animation style. I'm looking forward to the voice of Vader. I just fucking love Vader, man.
I know.
I just adore him. Anyway, looking through my notes, did I miss anything? No. Do you have anything for anything else for this episode?
I'm just glad we're back in Rebels. Oh, my
God. I'm so excited. So glad to be back. All right. So that is it for Rebels Season 1, Episode 14, Rebel Resolve. Next time, we will be talking about Season 1, Episode 15, Fire Across the Galaxy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sounds very ominous. And, like, I'm sure there's, like, a chlamydia joke in there.
But, what?
Yeah. Spreading fire across the galaxy, like STDs.
Why is my galaxy burning?
But I can't find it, so I'll just say chlamydia on my podcast because.
Anyway,
okay.
Mind you, it's not heartburn or anything like that. No, it's an STI. That's where we go on the show. Okay.
Because of who we are as people. Okay, anyway. So are we done here?
We are done here. Our patron Nimble says, it's 8:22 a.m., Steph.
Yeah. And anytime's a good time to talk about chlamydia.
I thought you were going to say, okay, never mind. I'm going to move on.
Okay. Are we ready to outro?
Let's do it.
All right. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate that. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed the music at the top of the episode, you absolutely should. That was a gift to the show from one of our listeners by the name of Chorlzy, who is a recording artist. You can find more of his work at his social medias as at Chorlsy. If you'd like to hang out with us in between episodes, you totally can. There's a lot of misogyny coming my way. Lately, because that's just the energy that certain demographics in the fandom are bringing to 2024. So, hey, hook up with us and you can see me deal with that. It's super fun. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and the artist formerly known as Twitter as at Darkside Divas.
And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our podcast via your favorite podcast platform of choice. Also, leave a review. We really like reviews. We really love it. All of our listeners that love our show, leave reviews. It really helps with the algorithm. It helps more people find our show. I'm not just saying this because I want to be more popular. I actually don't. I just would like more listeners. I don't know how that works, but go with me on it. Also, sure. We have a swag store, redbubble.com/officialdivas. Would you like t-shirts, stickers, mugs of our logos and the funny shit that we say? You sure do. You can go there right now and purchase stuff and have that. We also have a YouTube channel. If you do a search for Darkside Divas and subscribe, we will be doing more Unleashed episodes soon. We're also doing playthroughs of Baldur's Gate. Come join us. So subscribe there and you'll be notified automatically when that happens. And last but certainly not least, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/divaspodcast. For $5 a month, you'll get unedited video versions of our shows. We record these live. You'll have access to that. We also have special content and, most importantly, the greatest Discord community in all the galaxy.
It is true. Absolutely. They're fucking great. Is that everything?
That's it.
Okay. Then we say goodbye now. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.